Hey guys, welcome to Stock Talk. Today we have Charlie Wilson and Devin King with Wilson Cattle Company. We had a pretty good conversation there with just talking about life, really, as young kids and doing the thing as far as traveling, looking at stock, and get a little bit of cattle conversation for all those who are dying to get some cattle talk. So, Corey, I thought this was another one that we just kind of sat back in the chair and chatted. It wasn't very formal, but I also thought there was some good points that were brought up.
For sure. And, you know, Devin and Charlie both are two people that get it. I mean, and they've been not doing it quite as long as, you know, some of the quote unquote old timers or folks that have been around forever. But, you know, the level of success that they've had and their ability to, you know, work with good families and find and help young new families is something that's to be commended. And, you know, what's really exciting about this livestock business is there's people like that out there. And yeah, I thought the cattle talk that we had in there was super good. And, you know, I think our listeners will be satisfied. At least I hope they will be with adding another species again.
Yeah. And when we ask them what was their favorite heifer or steer they ever sold or raised, it took them a while to think of one. And I think that speaks volume of, you know, there's not just one good one that they raise. There's actually quite a few that they mentioned when we asked that question. So, you know, that only speaks to the quality of what they bring to the families. And as another good point that we brought up was that the good families that we have a chance to work with, I think makes this whole deal that much more valuable. So, but anyways, Corey, I think we are still rocking and rolling with our friends at Walton.
Yes, we are. And getting ready to dive right into show season here, especially the circuit there in Indiana starting up. And Walton's going to be there multiple weekends broadcasting those shows live. So if you're in another state and you want to see your competition that's going to be at the exposition, you might want to hop on that and check some of those shows out and where they're going to be. And, you know, the invaluable tools that just come along with Walton's, you know, sites and online platforms are just, you know, next level stuff. I mean, so make sure that you guys are tuning in to Stock Center and Walton Webcasting and check them out.
Yeah, for sure. And something else that's cool is that, you know, I can't emphasize enough that the Stock Center news is kind of one of those where, you know, if you have a little bit of downtime, you could get caught up of what's going on in the livestock industry and just the little short video that they post every week. So, and you know, you may see our logo in there just a quick bit. So, and like I said before, that's the very first time that we launch and kind of expose who's coming on the week before or recap of weeks previous. So, you know, they're really the only place that you get to hear the first hint of what's coming next or what happened in the week before. So,
yeah, I mean, on Monday they posted the Stock Center posted, you know, their kind of big highlight on Stock Center News was the exposition. And yeah, exactly. for those that want to get a little bit more insight there, you're more than welcome to see kind of a video version of it, I guess. So it's kind of cool that Stock Center and Walton Webcasting did that.
Yeah. All right, folks, today is the last day for the t-shirt design contest. I repeat, the last day. So make sure you're sending those in. We've got some killer ones that I'm really anxious to sort through with Corey and see which one wins. But we got some really awesome stuff coming down that avenue of merchandise. And we're going to have some stuff available to you online and, you know, obviously when we go to the expo and, you know, the other places we're going to be at, to come, they're going to be there too. So it's going to be pretty badass if I do say so myself.
Yeah. And in all seriousness, I don't know if we'll probably roll this out on Facebook first, maybe do a Facebook video, but we're going to have some more exciting news. It just seems like we're piling it on here. Some more exciting news. Trevor hinted to it a little bit earlier when it comes to our apparel and merchandise and stuff like that we're going to have available to you guys. And so, I don't know, we probably won't be able to wait till next week's episode. So we'll probably just announce it on Facebook or something. But yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Well, yeah, we're like little schoolgirls jumping out of our seats with this deal. So, But yeah, stay tuned for that. And, you know, as always, we appreciate you guys jumping on. And, you know, this is another one where it's a good conversation with young but very good minds. So without further ado, guys, please welcome Devin King and Charlie Wilson of Wilson Cattle Company. All right, guys, if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a little bit about who you guys are and what you run and how you operate.
Well, I'm Charlie Wilson, owner, manager, operator of Wilson Cattle Company from Miles, Iowa. We are a show cattle operation that travels around the country finding cattle to resell. We also raise a handful that we sell. And have a small farming operation also.
So how many head of cows do you have?
Roughly 90 head stock cows that we will AI and do embryo work with.
Okay,
cool. I saw via Snapchat today that you were trying to get some oats in before it rained.
I actually got them done about awesome. 5 minutes ago.
Oh, nick yeah. of time.
There you go. Sweet.
Well,
what so, about your better half?
Yeah.
So I'm Devin, and I guess I'm Charlie's better half. My main part of the operation, I guess, is helping Charlie with running the different sales, social media, some of the marketing type of stuff. And most importantly, while he's traveling around the country looking for babies, I'm usually at home taking care of our little boy. So we make it work together, and I guess each have our own roles at the shows and here at home too.
So does Hendrix have his first cow in his name yet?
He has about three or four.
They're ahead of the game.
Actually, we bought him his first one when I was like 5 months pregnant. So he was born
there. You go.
Cattle.
No, awesome. So those of you listening, Devin King is who we're talking with, and obviously Charlie introduced himself too. But Corey and I went to Blackhawk with Devin, so that's kind of how we met, and it's kind of a full circle deal because Charlie was one of the ones that was going to be on our list anyway that we always refer to. So hey, where Blackhawk brought us back together again. So no, the shameless plug there. So
that is for sure. So Charlie. Let's just dive in here. You know, those that have followed and maybe those that haven't should know that, you know, you guys have had quite a heck of a run over the last few years here. And you know, kind of been one of the winningest programs around as far as what I know and what I follow. And maybe Devin does a good job there on social media promoting that stuff. So that's helpful. But what's kind of allowed you guys to be so successful here recently?
Oh, I would say the last couple of years, we've had the fortunate ability to work with some of the best breeders, around the United States and gathering some of the best cattle that we could find. I think also a big part of it was we have a very awesome crew of people that help not only at the shows, but at home, my father included, and a hired man. And that just keeps the ball rolling at home while stuff's going on the road.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's some probably invaluable assets are the guys that get it done at home that allow you to go out and find the right ones and help give advice to some of those families and stuff. So then to piggyback off that, something that, you know, I always find interesting is, you know, everybody's got a different answer to this one, but, you know, when you first got started in this deal, you know, what was kind of some of the best advice or maybe even some of the worst advice you got when you got going?
Yeah. I guess, I took it a little different approach than most people getting into this business. Didn't do the whole college thing, went straight to working. Had the opportunity to work at what I think is two of the biggest and best operations within this business. One being Sullivan's out there in Dunlap. Got to learn just a lot of the daily stuff there and marketing also, but then also working for Lautner Cattle or Matt Lautner there by Adele really taught me how to interact with potential customers and the big marketing part. Learned a lot there. So I guess the advice was more kind of as I did it, not necessarily someone sitting down and telling me how to.
Yeah. You know, those are so two of the some of the most dominant cattle companies in the country. And, you know, you act like a sponge and soak in that knowledge. And, you know, work by doing, you almost learn, in my opinion, just as much doing as you were to somebody sit there and tell you how to do it. You know, so, you know, you referred to your customers and how, you know, Sullivan's helped you out with the customer aspect of that. How do you now today work on traveling and getting those cattle into the right customers? And what do you do to satisfy those customers for the long term?
I'd say a big thing with us and our company that goes on that is our customer service. The return, not only the return families, but new families that come in every year, we try to help them not only with finding the right animal, but the daily care, the feed, breeding, and then down the road marketing their cattle out of stuff that they had bought from us. I think that return customer rate, I'd say that we have, is high because of that. And I think just us giving all the advice we can give really helps that go along.
I think I would add to that a little bit too, is some of my background growing up, I didn't always have a lot of help from people. And I think Charlie and I, you know, Charlie got started with the help of some of the biggest influences in his life that maybe weren't family, more like family to him now. But I would just add that, you know, we ourselves have a little boy, so we understand what goes into this. We do it for a living, but now as parents, we look at it as, we know what our customers are giving to provide their kids with this opportunity. And so it really becomes a relationship and a friendship, not just customer service too, on top of that. Obviously we strive to provide the best that we can, but we want it to be a friendship as well.
Yeah. What do you guys, so obviously it's pretty time consuming, right? You got quite a few customers all over the place. You know, it's interesting, to see how other people do it. You know, some people will, like, just, you know, if they're close enough, I guess, drive over and check things out, see them in person. But, you know, I've noticed you guys sell quite a few cattle down south and you know, really across the U.S. So what do you do for those folks that are, you know, maybe not so close quarters to you? Do you just trust that they know what they're doing, or you have any of those kind of guys that are really seeking your input and advice too?
We're pretty fortunate that some of them families are people that can kind of take care of it themselves. But I do like to hit some of them bigger shows, maybe that they're trying to pinpoint some of them projects towards, and we'll go down there and just help out with the preparations to the show. As far as the local families, we do it a little differently, that once a calf is purchased, I mean, we don't charge them anything to bring the calf to our facility to get ready for a show. We don't charge them to go to a show and get it fit. And we just see that as part of the price you're paying for the cattle. I mean, they already cost a lot. So, I mean, we kind of do if they can get them to our place, we can sure help them out and get them ready for the show.
Well, that's part of the service added you mentioned earlier with this. I mean, heck, if I had a kid and I was wanting to get him into the cattle deal, that ups the price quite a bit. I mean, if somebody else is there for every step along the way, I'm going to Wilson Cattle Company.
When the time comes, we hope you do.
Well, it sure helps us idiots that know nothing really about how to fit and feed one. So,
Corey, could you imagine me getting my pig clippers out and trying to sculpt a heifer? That'd be the sight to see.
I figured you'd probably peel one's back down pretty tight. So,
well, maybe you guys can return the favor when we get Hendrix into showing hogs or sheep.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, there. Now that's what we're talking
now,
about.
I will say I could fit a hind leg on a market lamb pretty well. So I don't know if any of that skill will transfer to show cattle or not, but we could sure try it out sometime.
Oh, crap.
I will say, shameless plug here for Charlie, but if I remember right, you were nominated for best fitter, last year on that Best of the Barns deal that Sullivan's does. So
yep,
that's pretty cool. I might come take lessons from you instead of paying all that money to go to a camp somewhere.
Private lessons.
Yeah.
Devin, does Charlie ever let you fit on any?
He actually has a couple times, but how can I put it?
Only when we're running behind.
Yeah, there we go. That's the time stop for desperate measures. I'm usually the person that runs back and forth to the ring and says, oh, we're running late. Or, hey, guys, we got 5 classes to go. Let's pay them type of thing.
That's awesome. I could just see you running back and forth with Hendrix in one arm and a megaphone in the other. Like, let's speed it up, fellas. Come on.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better at calling and yelling at him over the phone versus running back and forth with the infant on my hip.
So, Charlie, a question that I just thought of was, being a pig guy that I am amazed every time I go through the cattle barn. And I may have mentioned this to some of the cattle guys we've had on here, but when you pull into a show and you get that calf in the chute and you're getting ready to fit on them, do you have one guy for each specific job and they just do it? Because what amazes me is there's hardly any communication. Like, hey, I'll do blend the top in, you do your show side leg and I'll do whatever. There's no communication. You just go for it. And then that thing walks in the ring looking perfect. So is there, is there any tips or what happens to get that accomplished?
Oh, I would say, typically, the crew that we put together, everybody kind of knows what they're good at. Not everybody wants to clip a back. Not everybody wants to do a belly. So if they're comfortable at doing front legs or a tail, they just do it. But typically at shows where we have maybe 8 or a dozen to do, a calf comes in the chute and people just get assigned to a leg or a certain thing and they do it and move on to the next one.
Huh. And the one thing I'll say about Charlie is I don't even know if he knows that he does this, but you know, a lot of times when we do have a really good crew, I actually find it really nice to know that like Charlie will look at every single aspect of that animal and he will, if he thinks it needs fixed, he'll do it. And he does a really nice job making sure that everything does blend and match when they're set in the ring. Because like you said, you know, sometimes you got 4 or 5 different guys working on one. And when you're rolling through them, it's nice just to make sure somebody dotted the I's and crossed the T's before they head in the ring.
Yeah, there's lots of different people that have kind of different styles or different ways they go about, you know, getting one dressed. So it's interesting to see, you know, who the person is that comes in like, ah, well, this guy did it this way on the front show side leg and this guy did it the other way. So kind of getting everything to have a similar look and style.
Do you guys remember the first ones you ever fit?
Ooh.
That doesn't sound too good.
It's been a while. Yeah. I mean, for one that somebody hired me to fit, I can kind of remember some of the first ones. I was a little nervous.
Yeah. I was just curious.
The interesting thing about Charlie is I asked him one time, I said, when did you or how did you learn to start fitting? And he said, I was always the awkward boy that stood behind Tracy Gretzky at the state fair and watched him clip on all of his steers. And I think that's cool because, I mean, I know I idolize Tracy still to this day for his fitting abilities. So I think it's cool just to see how it's kind of evolved.
Yeah. See, I'm that way with Joe Gensini at the Illinois State Fair. I just stand there and watch him. I have no idea what to do or what he's doing, but he's pretty fun to watch.
So we're going to bring back a segment that we took a break on for a couple episodes called Topics from a Hat. Each of us will kind of include our own thoughts into this topic. And we know you guys show some different breeds and are kind of specified in some of the others. So kind of curious to see your input. This one comes from an anonymous listener. They say a lot of breeds like Key Maine, Shorthorn Plus, etc., of those cattle that are named Supreme in the top 5 at expos and jackpots, these breeds hold little value and relevance to the beef industry and not necessarily hold a place in terms of seed stock and commercial producers. Why or why not should they be in contention for the best animal in the show if they are likely have no influence in the industry?
I have a pretty good answer for this one. It's probably the reason why I probably won't judge very many shows. The show cattle industry, I mean, it's different than the commercial industry. I dislike when people try to combine it. That'd be like taking your Geo Metro and trying to win a car show. it's not going to happen. And I mean, I know you got to have some things that cross over into the commercial industry, but I mean, we're showing cattle to to take stuff to the extremes, to make stuff look different than they would, you know, out in the pasture. And you can take some of the things from the commercial industry and, you know, make them, or the important things, they still need to be in the show ring. But, I mean, I think it really doesn't matter breed. It really doesn't matter anything. If they're good, they're good.
Yeah. Yep.
Dev?
Yeah, I guess I would tend to agree with Charlie. You know, when I'm judging a show, you don't ever say to yourself, oh, well, the key, she's out because, you know, she's not a purebred animal. And I guess some guys probably do that. But if you like them, you like them. And like Charlie said, we're not trying to achieve the same thing that, you know, those commercial guys are. And our hats are off to them. I mean, the commercial guys, they're very successful at what they do. And the cattle market needs them. What we're doing here is more of a passion and more of a hobby. And there's a lot of guys that have been very successful at doing that. No matter what the breed of cattle is, obviously they're capable of raising them to be efficient, to make the show ring thing work. So, you know, the show steer thing, I've been in debates with a lot of our good friends before about, well, how sound do we have to keep these show steers, and what, you know, what really matters if they're terminal anyway? And, you know, Corey and Trevor, I'm sure you remember our Denver prep, to go out there and judge. And, you know, a lot of those fat feedlot steers we looked at, they're not very sound. But yet we're still emphasizing structure in the steer show ring. And I believe we should continue to do that. Cause these are show cattle. So I guess that would be my point there.
Yep. And, you know, I've thought about this ever since we got it submitted. It's a pretty good one, honestly, to that listener who sent it in. And it goes across all species because they are separated in the commercial aspect of things. And then there's show animals. Mm-hmm. And there's a, you know, there's value to each. And one can't really survive without the other in a certain sense, you know, to a certain extent, I should say. But I think you see a lot of variation in the cattle industry where, I think the commercial sides actually can be relevant, more so like compared to the hogs, where the commercial side and the show side is extremely night and day now. They're very removed. And like you said, with your cat, the cattle on our Denver trip, or those commercial hogs can't hardly move either. So we've have more emphasis on structure and phenotype instead of just putting numbers together and shooting for what you can do.
Yeah, I see both sides of this, I guess. You know, because I mean, Charlie, and you said this, that there are some things that in the show, and I'll, okay, to jump back, I'll agree with Trevor. Like, as far as this industry goes, the cattle industry, it's probably tied more closely to the commercial side than it is in any other show species. But in the same sense, you know, because there are things that we take, you know, what makes a good commercial cow? Well, she's got to be sound enough to move, and cover some ground. She's got to be good enough fleshing to not die, you know, out, you know, wherever she is, whatever environment she's in, she's got to milk good and she's got to be able to have a calf without too much effort. So, I mean, those things are, I mean, we don't want to continuously cut cattle out of the side of a heifer just to make a great show steer. It's not very practical. Though at times maybe it works better than others. Probably some of the best ones ever have come out of the side, but still. but the point is, you know, you don't want to be doing that every day or every time you're calving. You don't want to have an issue, and so there are aspects, you know, and obviously I think having cattle that are, you know, smooth finished and sound enough, Devin, to your point. And you know, I think there are more things that come from the commercial side that could be influenced. But I mean, when we're talking about a show, it's whatever the best five end up being, or, you know, the best two end up being, regardless of breed, I think deserve to be there. Whether that's a Hereford or a Key Maine or, you know, a Key or whatever. So yeah, I see both sides of it, but at the same time, my feelings are that, you know, it's still a show and the best show animal wins regardless of what breed they are.
So. Yeah. That's getting back to what Charlie said. I mean, a good one's a good one. Screw what it's, I mean, what it's out of and what division it came out of. If it's the best one there, it's the
win. And I, that's kind of my point too. You know, when you're standing there and you're judging the show, you're obviously not going to pick the female that you're like, oh, well, she's never going to be able to have one on her own. Like, nobody says that. You know, you're obviously going into it with the thought process of, man, that one's nice. She's going to make a good cow. She's going to generate some revenue for that young person someday. So, yeah, nobody likes to make a habit of cutting them off the side.
Although you would make for your vet sure. really happy. Yes. That'd be some major coin for him.
Yeah. So, all right. So, topics from a hat. That was a good one. Thanks to our anonymous submission there. So,
it's back, folks. Make sure you keep sending those in. Don't forget about it.
It is back. Yeah. So Charlie, you know, when you're out looking at cattle, because I think this is the most interesting part about your operation is a lot of your, you know, I would probably say the majority of your sale cattle you got and find, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, when you're out looking at those calves, steers or heifers, whatever, what's kind of like the three most important things that you've got to have in one for them to make the cut?
I mean, back to what we were just talking about, they got to be ones when you walk in the pen, the pasture, wherever you're at, that catch your eye. I mean, if they're not eye catching, if they don't look good, if they don't have them extras, I mean, what's going to make a judge look at them? What's going to make a family right. walking through the pen want them? So, I mean, they got to stick out. And then, I mean, a little bit of the basics. I'm probably a little harder on structure with cattle than a lot of people are. I like them plenty flexible, steers and heifers. And then after that, I mean, I kind of just depends on what you're looking at. But I'd say the main thing is they just got to have that wow factor to them. They got to have, you know, you got to go to the person that raised them right away and be like, what is that one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how many miles do you put on your pickup every year?
Well, I just actually called and got a rental car, getting ready to go out to the East Coast here for about 2 weeks. Like that trip, it'll last 10 days to 2 weeks, and I think last year we put on like 6,000 miles. But I mean, we're traveling year round, so. I don't know. I've had a truck for 2 years. Got about 120,000 on it.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. That's not crazy. He rents a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a lot of miles on the road, but, I guess the way I see it, you can't find them if you stay at home.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, and the payoff could be quite large in the end of the day. So, hey, speaking of some of those that you went out and find, do you have ones that are like all time favorite? Let's do heifer and steer.
Oh boy, I don't know. That's a tough question.
We'll even on the steer side, we'll even give you slick and haired.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to say it just because it's one of the most recent ones, but. We were fortunate enough to do pretty well down at Oklahoma City this year. I thought that calf was pretty special as far as the sear side of it. But I don't know. There's been a few other ones too. And not even, I mean, there's been ones I like that never won a show. right, I thought yeah. they were good cattle.
Been there.
and then as far as the heifers, that one's probably more tough because really we sell more heifers than steers in a year. I guess the one that comes to mind right now would be probably the heifer that won state fair last year.
The Iowa State Fair?
Yep. And then I guess we got one in the string this year that started out pretty good, a Simmental heifer that I think is pretty out there.
Huh. Sweet.
I would add that maybe since Charlie and I have been part of this together, my favorite duo, so to speak, last year we had a high main and a maintainer, and I think the high main was champion high main every time we showed her last year. She won the junior show at Kansas City, Louisville. She didn't go to Denver, but it was pretty special. The heifer, the maintainer that won state fair last year, also won the junior show at Kansas City, and it was pretty special. Those heifers were actually both champion high main and champion maintainer in the open shows at Louisville, so that was a big day for our operation to kind of sweep the open show there at Louisville.
Yeah, I would say
it was a lot of fun. And both of those heifers had pretty special personalities. Reba, the one that won State Fair, Hendrix and her, their pals. So she has a near and dear place in, I think, our hearts.
You just gained a pasture pet.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. So pretty average year. Pretty average year. no, I think that's what's so neat. And I mean, you know, it's not like you guys are in your mid-40s or anything. You've been doing it forever. So, you know, that's one of the cool things I think about you guys in your operation is that, you know, you've not, though it may feel like a long time, I'm sure for you guys, as many miles as you traveled and calves have you sold and fit on and whatever. But I'm sure that, you know, we'll see a lot more to come from you guys too. I guess when it comes to kind of the preparation side of things, we kind of talked about some of that previously, but I'm always intrigued because I know what it takes on the sheep side and I've seen people, you know, getting baby pigs ready for a sale. But I would think that the cattle deal is quite a bit more time consuming. So what do you guys do and what's the preparation like for getting cattle ready for an online sale?
I guess it all depends on time of the year. Our first sale is there at the end of September when we sell the majority of our steers. Those, it all depends. They start coming in end of July, 1st of August, and it kind of takes a little longer maybe to get them cattle ready because of the kind of in the middle of the heat of the summer, just to get them haired up and put a little condition on them. Really from there on out through the fall when the nights get cooler and it makes it easier. There's a lot of cattle that'll come in off the trailer and heck, within a week we got them clipped and broked and pictured and ready for a sale. The online thing is really, I think helped us out in a way. Me being a sales rep for that show cattle connection, really opens the doors to being able to sell cattle all across the country. And getting them ready for that, is getting easier and easier every year, I guess, getting the routine down and knowing what needs to be done when.
So that show cattle connection deal, that's pretty new, right?
Yeah. Yep. Just out. Actually, we were actually the very first, live cattle sale to be on the show cattle connection with our fall born heifer sale that we had with, Jeff Paulson. And we were real happy. It went real well and kind of just getting started here with these, spring and summer sales and, got a lot of booked up here for this fall.
Yeah. I was surprised when I first jumped on there, there was quite a few already booked when they first launched the site, which, you know, it only makes sense, but, I thought it looked really crisp. I think that deal's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. I like it. Couple new features that some of them other, sites don't offer. I mean, the basics are about the same as everything, but there's a few neat features that a guy can do and just make you stand out a little more than everybody else that's trying to sell them.
And I think they've done a really good job there of trying to get guys on board that do a lot of business like Charlie. Just people that are, you know, really well known and will be able to get out there and help you market your cattle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the big keys is actually getting out and we've talked about this in episodes previously is actually getting out and seeing the cattle. And like, if you can't do it, being able to get a hold of, you know, somebody like Charlie is invaluable because, you know, if he's on the road and be like, hey, saw this person's having a sale, next week, what do the calves look like? And if you trust their opinion, you know, that's helpful at least to be able to get a different set of eyes and ears on them rather than having, you know, calling the breeder directly and he's going to give you a sales pitch, you know, cause he wants to get them sold. So Charlie, I guess, how did the whole, so I know some of the story, but I don't want to tell it because it's not mine really to tell. And maybe we could save some of this for a later interview with somebody else. How did the whole show cattle connections deal really get kind of started?
Oh, I just think, talking to a few of the people, one of our head guys, I would say, Mr. Todd Caldwell, saw an opportunity to make something bigger and better and ran with it. I think, change is always good and it was time for a change.
Cool. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we'll have to get Todd on here sometime. And
I was actually thinking about today. I was like, boy, that'll match pretty good right after that. But after today's episode,
yeah, he'd be very good to interview. Yeah.
And he'd be cool because he'd give you guys a multi-species.
Right. Yep.
Write it down. Absolutely. He's next. Well,
hey, and I will point out for all my sheep people out there, Caldwells were in the sheep barn last year. I just want to point that out. So they are truly multi-species now.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes us sheep people feel pretty good.
So. You might want to wait till Maddie's home, though, to schedule anything with him. Because anytime we have a tech question, Todd always tells Charlie, call Maddie.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd get your platform figured out.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. All right, Trevor, I'm going to leave the last question to you because I believe I asked this last time.
Well, let's just wait a second because I have a proverb to launch out there.
Oh, is that right? I completely forgot.
You're
mix that out of the
trying video. To steal my thunder there, Thunder Buddy.
Sorry about that.
Wow, I really like the beat. I got some shit up on my chest. I think it's time I preach. It's time I preach. Yeah, it's time I preach.
So, folks, I mowed for about 3 hours today. And like I said, power washing proverbs doesn't have to be power washing, although it just kind of sounds cool. So I was mowing for like 3 hours. And all these thoughts started pouring in my head about this whole show stock industry. And some of the times I can be a little negative on some topics on here. So I flipped the switch on myself and thought, you know what? I'm pretty damn fortunate to have the families that I do. And this right here, this proverb is a shout out to all the families that actually give a damn. The ones that ask questions, the ones that send pictures, the ones that say, hey, I think he's a little too hard muscled. What do we need to do? The ones that ask a lot of questions and then some. You know, for example, I had a family I went to and 2 weeks ago. And I said, hey, we need to make sure we're, you know, sitting in the pen with these pigs and brushing on them, getting to trust each other. And then I came back this week and them pigs are already out in the grass. So shout out to families like that in all species. I'm sure Charlie and Devin, you guys kind of know what I'm talking about. The ones that like to get after
preach.
It and the ones you want to help. I mean, there's all different types. But my power washing proverb this time is just a shout out to those killer good families.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there. And those are the people that, I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it without. I mean, they're the ones actually that get more customers to come to our business. I mean, they're the ones that make us look good for doing a good job at home. And we wouldn't be able to do it without them. And we're fortunate enough to have a handful of them that really get it and really want to do it and get it done the right way.
And it makes our job so much easier. Just even from going to the shows every weekend, it's a lot more fun to go when you don't feel like you're going to babysit. And fortunate for us, we do have, like Charlie said, we have those families that are very talented. Their kids are great showmen. And it gets us so excited when we can follow one up to the ring. And, you know, there's a young boy that's showing a high main for us this year. And he goes out there and boy, does he get her stuck. And it is so exciting to watch him develop as a showman. And to see, you know, this calf that we found and they've purchased and to see them come together. I think the success you see there, it's really what this business is about. So yes, Trevor, I would agree 100%. Hats off to those families.
And let it be known that good families do not equal experienced families.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the ones that have been doing it for 10 years, they should be good families. Let's be honest. But even two topics from the hat off to the ones that are just new, like first, second year kids and families that sit there and ask all the questions. Like, I cannot emphasize that enough. Some people are just afraid to ask, what should I do?
It's the only way you'll learn.
It's exactly right. I mean, and Charlie, we all know that, you know, with the cattle that he's placed, have been successful. Why do you think they've been successful? Probably because they're good families behind them. So shout out to them guys.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's funny because sometimes people will text Charlie or they'll text myself and it's like, well, we're glad you texted us. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We want to help, you know, like Charlie said, that makes our business look better.
Yeah. And mind you, I'm going to put a negative spin on this. Don't be the person that asks a bunch of questions and doesn't do what the people tell you to do. Like, don't be that person. So that's all I got.
Amen, Corey.
Yeah. So, dang it. Now that Trevor talked and gave you his power washing proverb, I got to ask the last question. Thanks for putting that on me, homie. Appreciate it.
Bazinga.
All right. So we've been doing this now, gosh, probably for a little over a month and a half, and kind of asking people, you know, where they see this stock show industry in 5 years. And so I would think with a little one, your guys' perspective might be a little different than some that we've heard. So looking forward to hearing your answer on where you guys think this thing's heading.
Oh, I've had a lot of people that ask me that question almost every year, more so asking, you know, how the sales went, how the traffic was, and those types of questions. And my answer is always the same, in that from the first year I started to this year, there's never been a year where I thought it went backwards. The highest price cattle bring more. It seems like there's more cattle at shows. Seems like there's more shows. And every year there's new families. There's never been a year where you can't find a new family to sell a calf to. I mean, I just see it. And I see it going back to one of them earlier questions, turning into more of a hobby. You know, some kids play basketball, some kids race cars, and some kids want to work on their show calf. And I think them people that, you know, want to put forth all the money that it does take, and make it a hobby. I mean, those things are never going to go away.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with Charlie, and I think it'll be so interesting to see what the animals look like in 5 years. A lot of these shows, it seemed like there for a while, we wanted them as big-bellied as we could get them, and now I know Charlie and I have been to some shows where they're saying we don't need that much belly. So I think it'll be interesting to see in, you know, 5 years when we're picking one out for Hendrix, you know, what's that calf look like, or what's that hog look like, or, you know, whatever he may be interested in. I hope it's not turkeys. If it is, I suppose we'll figure that game out.
Hey, you're in the poultry business, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, I am. I don't own any poultry, but I do work in the poultry business. Nonetheless, I think it'll be interesting. I think we have a lot of great families in this business, and, you know, to add to the twist of being parents, I don't think there will ever be a better way to raise your kid than with show cattle, show stock in general. So I think it's still going to be a very positive thing as we continue to move forward.
I totally agree with you. I'm actually excited to see where it goes. Who would have thought we would have had a podcast in this deal, you know, let alone the cool productions that our friends Walton Webcasting are doing and all that. So I'm pumped to see. The livestock are going to change, but good people are always going to be in the stock show industry.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, guys, we truly appreciate you guys jumping on here and taking time out of your evening. It's truly been a pleasure speaking with you guys, and kind of a fresh new show cattle view on some things. So, hey, I appreciate you guys jumping on here, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's been our pleasure, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for keeping us multi-species. No, we appreciate it. Listeners, keep submitting your topics from a hat. Keep submitting those social smashes, and hell, if you got a power washing proverb, send it over to us. We might talk about it. So thankful for all our listeners out there. And Trevor, this is it. This is the t-shirt contest is over today.
This is the last day. It's April 24th, folks. You got to know to send it in. We'll give you to the end of the day. Don't you think, Corey? We'll give them to the end of the day. When the clock hits the, you know, when it's officially midnight, it's over.
Yeah. But if
so do Charlie and I get a t-shirt for helping out today.
Oh, well, sure. I don't see why not.
Jeez, just take your freebie there, okay? Absolutely. We'll get you some. We'll get you some gear.
We'll get a hat sent to you guys.
There you go.
Awesome.
There you go. Well, again, guys, make sure you get those submitted. We love the good comments you guys are leaving us. We appreciate every single one of you. This thing could not be alive without the great listeners that we do have. Thanks for listening to another edition of Stock Talk.
Gotta go.